you have a bit of energy created, and it goes further than that.
Great. Well, that we'll be back with that in about 15 or so minutes. And right after this, we'll be back with some special edition for Black History Month.
Something curious, something cultural, something unserious, sometimes serious, something mundane, something everyday, though not even really that. Tune into Typically Tuesdays, airing every Monday, you heard that right, Monday, from 3 to 4 p.m., your hour of quasi-cerebral talk and tunes.
It's Black History Month all throughout February, and there are a number of really interesting events happening around the city in honor of Black History Month. You can find a lot of the Vancouver Public Library actually has quite a great series. They have a film series of great films telling Black stories. They have some speakers who are coming in to make presentations. Most of these events happen at the Central Library downtown. You can go to the VPL site to find out more about them. But it's pretty cool. We have Valerie Jerome, Races Against Racism. That's a talk coming up on February 11th in just a couple days. There's also like the film Black Brains on Screen series. Upcoming films include Who's Coming to Dinner from 1967, In the Heat of... a little too far away for me to read easily. Boys in the Hood from 1991, that's a great film. Crooklyn, 1997. All coming up on Fridays at the theater, various days. Check the calendar for that. A great, very interesting concert that's coming up is... this second, I'm going to find it here. One interesting event, the Black History Tour and Tasting. That's a tour take you around to various black-owned food businesses to allow you to sample some of the great food produced for the community. And the Ebony Roots Concert is another interesting event. Coming up on February 20th, which basically explores the roots of Black history, going back to the songs that slaves brought to North America when they were brought here as slaves, through to the current day and all the influences and innovations that have happened since then. That sounds like a fascinating show. You can find out more information. That's happening February 20th at the Roundhouse Community Recreation Center. So just you can Google for that. So lots of interesting stuff coming up. Here on SFU, there is a new Black Student Center created by the university. And Nicole Hines from CGSF talked to Daniel Sharif, who's the Associate Director of the Black Student Center. And we're going to play you that interview right now. It's a little... the audio is a little challenging at some times, so I'm going to do my best to keep on top of that, but hopefully you can enjoy this interview. And let's make sure we got everything set up. Yep.
Simon Fraser University is establishing a Black Student Center dedicated to providing permanent, culturally appropriate, and identity-affirming support services for Black-identifying students at SFU's three campuses located in Burnaby, Surrey, and Vancouver. So thank you so much for joining me today, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's a Friday.
It's a Friday, and the weather is weathering. It's all right out there.
Yes, it is all right.
Exactly. No snow on the mountain.
No snow on the mountain today.
Absolutely.
It was a little bit the last couple of days, but you know.
Absolutely.
It didn't hang around.
No, it didn't hang around, so I'm so happy that you're here. I have a few questions about the Black Student Center, and I would love for you to share some information about the center. So, first question is, can you, number one, tell me about the center, and then also maybe talk about why you think a center like this should exist at SFU?
Well, the Black Student Center is a location that operates as a hub that is designed to provide an array of student support services for Black students and students who self-identify as Black. It really takes on the spirit of supporting the mindsets and the experiences of students on campus that historically did not have access to supports that they've found to be valuable for them. And it also plays a role in propelling those students in a way where it highlights their experiences to ensure that what they had experienced does not move forward
with
respect to future cohorts.
Right.
And so it's really designed in order to establish an infrastructure where we can only move forward with respect to supporting students who self-identify as Black by being present and by establishing opportunities for those students to thrive. Opportunities that students historically probably did not have access to.
Absolutely.
With respect to SFU.
Yes, totally understood. And if you could share, what has the journey been for like taking, you know, the idea of having the Black Student Center at SFU to it almost coming to life, right?
My journey has been, I have to admit, short. I started in February of last year.
Okay.
But I do know that this journey, you know, probably started probably around 2020.
Okay.
And it really was a culmination of student voices and faculty voices and leadership voices within the Black community within SFU. And it just trickled throughout the years. We're intensifying, advocating for more supports for Black students, addressing issues that have impacted the Black community within SFU, and taking those experiences, wrapping them up into some structure where it's advocated to those who make decisions within the university to start the process of establishing an infrastructure to better support the community. Now, there are a lot of other things in play that that are designed to support the community. The Black Student Center is one of them.
Right, okay.
And so that's important to identify. But the focal point is the Black Student Center right now. And so the Black Student Center really has been structured due to the voices of great students that were enrolled, now currently alum, and the support of faculty and staff during the time of 2020, 2021, 2022, and really highlighting up until to date.
So we're having this conversation at the beginning of 2026, and I was just saying, I know, it's
no
like,
way.
Listen, let me tell you, I was just having a conversation with my colleagues and said, like, we're already 9 days in. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the time is really progressing quickly. However, this project has been going on for now. This is like 6 years, and it's finally coming to life. So I know you haven't been there from the starting of the journey, but, you know, my next question is going to be is like, when will the center be available and open to students to access?
Yeah, so the center will be open for students to access in February.
Okay.
So in February, we're going to have a series of events.
Okay.
February the 6th, we're going to have a student day slash open house.
Nice.
It is a concept where students and faculty, staff, the SFU community can visit the Black Student Center.
Awesome.
And receive like a guided tour of this place. We're going to have a Black Healing Circle.
Oh, nice.
During that event from 1 to 2. And then from 2 to 3, we're going to have a student panel.
Okay.
Consisting of students.
Yeah.
And that's from 2 to 3. And then from 3 to 4, we're going to have an Afrobeats dance class.
Okay.
Demonstration in one of the rooms. And then throughout the entire time from 1 to 4, you know, students can drop in, maybe grab some food, listen to some music, mm-hmm. Something of that nature.
Awesome.
So it's just an opportunity to open the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and it's safe to say that that will be the informal launch where students can actually go into the center and just kind of just get engaged, mm-hmm. and be familiarized with the surroundings.
Awesome.
And then throughout the month, we're going to have a series of mini events leading up to a formal launch of the space.
Okay.
Which will take place on February the 19th.
Okay.
And then starting March is when full operations.
It's expected.
Implemented.
Okay, and then, okay, so when it comes to full operations, what does that mean? What would the hours roughly, and also the location? I should probably ask that. So those are two questions. Like, where would it be located, and then what would the hours of access kind of be?
Yeah, so the Black Student Center will be located in the Maggie Benson Center.
Okay.
On the second floor.
Nice.
Right next to the cafeteria.
Yes.
And across the hall from the bookstore.
Okay.
So you definitely will be able to see it. It's a
nice.
Very large glass wall.
And okay.
You're going to see it. So you just definitely cannot miss it.
Love it. Love it.
And the hours of operations would be from 8:30 to 4:30, Monday to Friday.
Okay. Nice. Nice. And will there be any services that students will be able to access, like when the center is like fully functioning and stuff, like let's say spring and all that? Or is it going to be a place that people can hang out in? What would be the vibe?
Very good question. So we're going to have an array of different kinds of services.
Awesome.
That would be offering to students, mm-hmm. supports to services. So for example, like academic advising,
mm-hmm.
supports, career and volunteer services support.
Nice.
Student co-op supports.
Nice.
Counseling supports.
Nice.
Wellness supports.
Important. I just want to throw that in. Okay, sorry, carry on.
And then cultural development, cultural awareness.
Nice.
Programming.
Nice.
To really reflect the diversity of our community.
Mm-hmm.
So we do hope to host a lot of culturally based programs out of the center. And also an opportunity to connect with the broader Black community within the Lower Mainland.
I love it.
Connected students with the community to
yes.
Build connection,
yes.
and bridges.
Yep.
And definitely partnerships with
yes.
many different faculties and business units across the campus, across
awesome.
Burnaby, Vancouver, and Surrey campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And with the focal point of partnering to provide ongoing services,
love.
Support services for students.
Love it, love it. So it's basically not, things aren't going to be set in stone. Like basically things can evolve and organically shift and change as the needs
100%.
Yeah.
And that's one of the important factors with respect to the center.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be an ongoing process of service delivery, but flexible service delivery, because what we provide now may not be what's best next year.
That's that part, that part.
So always being mindful in
yeah.
terms of what are some of the key things that students need.
Exactly.
And what can we do to support them to access those particular things?
Absolutely.
To the best of our abilities, and to constantly be in a position to find answers to those questions will be the driving force behind.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, so we got a lot of information about the center. We basically know a lot of information as to like some of the soft launches and when it's actually going to be open. I have a question that now shifts to Black History Month, because that is literally just around the corner. And I am curious if there are any events that you are aware of that you might be attending that you might want to share now. And I know that throughout, listen, guys, guys on the, you know, CGSF. We're going to be like, you know, talking about events throughout the month, even starting now because we are in January. But I'm just curious if there's anything that you wanted to share.
Yes, for sure. Definitely, I know on February the 19th, the morning of February the 19th, from 10 to 12, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're going to have an in-conversation event.
Oh, nice.
And the in-conversation concept seems to be an annual now process with SFU, with Black History.
Simon Fraser University is establishing here. Simon Fraser Uni.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I mean, hey, listen, snapping.
and they're gonna have an interconversation. They're gonna have a conversation with respect to higher education in today's world, and what does that look like with respect to our Black community and diversity. And some of the challenges that higher education experience in today's world. So they're going to have a conversation focusing on that. So definitely check out that when you receive more information about it.
Definitely.
We're also going to have on February the 17th a panel discussion focusing on Hogan's Alley.
Okay, right on.
And if folks who are not aware of what Hogan's Alley is, Hogan's Alley is technically Vancouver's first official Black community where residents from the community was displaced from the city of Vancouver due to the construction and development of the viaduct that's currently in place at downtown Vancouver. So anyhow, we're going to have a focus group, a discussion panel with some scholars, community leaders, and some artists about Hogan's Alley in a way to educate the public a little bit more about the history of Hogan's Alley, the legacy, and the future ideologies and movements with respect to Hogan's Alley. Like, what's next?
Right.
What's going on?
Right.
What are some of the key things the public would need to know about Hogan's Alley? So we're going to have that event, currently working on it, and it will be located at, or the venue will be, the Gibson Museum.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome.
We're partnering with the Gibson Museum and their fabulous team to put on that event.
Awesome.
That's another event to definitely look out for.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. And like I mentioned, we will be posting information, like usually in show notes and things like that, for people to be connected. And there's a lot of talk shows that we have on air that we will kind of be talking about it over and over again. Oh my goodness, we're just about to wrap up. But I wanted to ask, like, how can folks get more information about the Black Student Center or some of the other initiatives that are happening as they're listening on the airwaves?
Yeah, they can definitely check out the Black Student Center webpage.
Okay.
In the process of transitioning that webpage to a website.
Okay.
But definitely you can check that out. Check us out at the Black Student Center webpage right now. And it's off of the SFU platform.
Perfect.
And you can also send an email to bsc_admin@sfu.ca, so bsc admin at sfu.ca, and if you send an email via that website, well, not website, that email address, you'll be able to get in contact with me and someone else from the Black Student Center team. And I think those would be the two best ways of getting a hold of us. But at the end of the day, I think what's best would be to go to the Maggie Benson and visit us at the center.
Hey!
Be in a position to just walk in and introduce yourselves.
Absolutely.
And start connecting with people. Because really, that's one of the key things that we want to present here through the center, is establishing that community within a community, so the community is familiarized with one another. So
absolutely.
Folks walking in and seeing who's there and having the opportunity to connect.
Love it. And guys, I plan to be there at many of the events, especially on the 6th. So I can't wait to also talk about that after the fact on air. So that will be incredible. I want to thank you for joining me today, Daniel. I really appreciate your time. And I look forward to visiting, like I said, the Black Student Center next month.
Sounds great.
Yay. Thank you. And you've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories.
And thanks to Nicole Hines for that interview. Just want to tell you a bit about the two events that Daniel Sharif, the director of associate director of the new Black Student Center here at SFU, was talking about that are coming up this month. The Hogan's Alley, A Legacy Interrupted, A Future Reimagined. That's coming up on February 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marion and Edward Gibson Art Museum. That's the new art museum up here at SFU. Basically near the main transit exchange. It's just opened earlier this fall, a fabulous building with some great exhibitions happening, and that they're changing all the time. So I highly recommend going to that and then budgeting in some time to look around the gallery while you're there. That is free. So Hogan's Alley, Legacy Interrupted and A Future Reimagined, Tuesday, February 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. And then mingle with Dr. Wisdom Tetti at the Black Student Center. That's happening Friday, February 20th at 1 p.m. at the Black Student Center in the Maggie Benson building here at SFU, 1 p.m. on Friday. So you can check out those events coming up in the next week and a bit, and all the other great Black History Month events happening around town. In particular, check out the Vancouver Public Library. They have a number of great events. Just look online. There's a lot of stuff happening. So, Peter, anyway, how are you doing?
So, by the way, Elon Musk's company, Tesla, really doesn't have much to do with them.
doesn't have much to do with Tesla?
Well, not really. I mean, yeah. It's like he just used it as a name. Actually, I was surprised to find out, and I actually read the article. Tesla had a cover article in Time magazine in 1931. And one thing what they said was that...
This is Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
He, in 1931, there was a cover story on him, which kind of surprised me, because the myth about him is that he becomes this lone figure, forgotten and so on. But one thing it said was really after his death that he became a forgotten figure, which was 1943. One thing that Tesla did not believe in, atomic and energy. He did not. There were certain aspects of Einstein's theory that he did not think was true, and which has been proven to be true. So that sort of may be why he wasn't of the atomic age. Mm-hmm. It was really during the 1980s he sort of came forth. In fact, something rather odd, there's a 1980 film which I called Tesla. Orson Welles played...
A biographical film?
Yeah, you know, a docudrama, as they call it.
Okay, yeah.
And Orson Welles plays J.P. Morgan in it. And I never heard about it. I heard about it, you know, 10 years ago. I finally saw it, and I saw it again. And it was interesting that this film just came and went, despite Orson Welles having the role in it. I never saw it. Like, there used to be these repertory theaters during the 80s before the videotapes kicked in. And I never really saw it being presented at all. Mm-hmm. So... then there were books about him. The other thing I'm going to do is kind of do a middle ground with him, because they said, one thing was that supposedly he did not, one report was that he couldn't pay the hotel bills and all that. Supposedly he had an arrangement with a hotel that he was staying at doing some of the electro work or other things.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a myth about him, kind of the other way. Oh, he just believes these fanciful things that can't come true. And no, he had some sort of arrangement. He wasn't really in the great destitute that he was actually. Now, Thomas Edison, who ripped him off and so on, I'm just going to say something that happened to him, because what happened, a lot of people don't know, is that Thomas Edison lost a lot of his money because he attempted to do what it is that the East Coast had a scarcity of basically high-grade iron, iron ore, and his attempt was to take the lower grade and make it more sellable. But he became, from this enterprise, he had to take a loan from his father-in-law in about 1901 or so. So he actually, you know, he kind of he was in a dire straits. Actually, he was insolvent, mm-hmm. and it was kind of a silly thing that he did. Actually, the other thing about Edison, they wanted him to invent a rubber, like a fake type of rubber,
a synthetic rubber.
Synthetic. He died in 1931. He was never able to do it. It was invented during World War II, about 1943.
Yeah.
Which takes a bit of the rubber and kind of expands it.
Right.
So the other thing is about Tesla and radio. Now, this is actually a bit of a interesting thing. What it is that there was a court case around after he died, 1944, that said that he was the inventor of radio. Now, what happened was that he had a patent on a certain aspect of it, and in 1895 he was going to send a signal, but his laboratory broke down. So it was more Marconi in 1901, who sent it across the land, which was Morse code,
right? From if I'm correct, Signal Hill in St. John, New Brunswick.
Yes, there's the Canadian aspect to that.
Although it wasn't part of Canada at the time, but
he shared the Nobel Prize in 1909 with a Braun, Frederick Braun, and there was somebody else. John Stone Stone, that's the name of this guy. He had some aspects of, and there were other people too.
And what specifically did they win for?
Oh, it doesn't say. Nobel Prize awarded. Yeah, I know that it's probably for. I don't know.
I was wondering what the accomplishment was. Except, anyway,
but actually, what Tesla did do in the 1890s was this little kind of toy, kind of a boat thing. Actually, you can used to be more of a thing to have, where you got the boat on the little tiny thing, and you have a remote control and it goes by itself.
Yeah.
Now that's an aspect of radio.
Yep.
Interestingly, about the electricity in the air, one thing they might do in the future is having cars, electric cars, being with the extra impulse. We could maybe get it that big to have the electric cars of it. The other thing is that if you're at a radio, if you're close to a radio transmission, you can have small electrical appliances work by way of just being close to the
picking up energy from the radio waves.
Yeah. So, but not that much actually. There was somebody in Africa, he sort of claimed he could run a car on radio waves. He got some like a government in Africa, but I checked into it. It doesn't. I mean, one could think, why didn't you just have a TV going on? out of nowhere or something, or some sort of other thing. But it seemed to be some sort of a scam, unfortunately. So the other thing is that he did do alternating current. That was his importance. And Edison tried to... He had so much invested in direct current.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks for tuning in to Speak Up. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up in about 5 seconds. Lots more great programming, including Wandering Rhythms up at 12 and Typically Tuesday up at 3. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.